American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the game.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this 23rd day of March 2005. And I guess what we're going to do here is just open phone it, because there's a lot of people who like to weigh in on this issue. And there's some very good thoughts that that you people are expressing. So we're going to keep the lines open on this subject. But I do want to get around to Mr. Bush's plan here of, drugging America. I mean, this is a horrible thing, and I definitely do want to cover that. It's been talked about before by the likes of Alex Jones, but I've never really touched on the subject. And, well, believe it or not, there are some people listening to this show that don't listen to Alex, so we'll cover it. Art in Michigan. Hello, Art.
This Terry Schindler thing is, it really is a matter of law, but the thing is, whose law? You know, and it is written that they create mischief by a law. I think you'll find it in Psalms 94:20.
Right.
So, but I want to, if you allow me just to do this, I agree with you. That to turn it over into the federal thing is there's a rat there.
Yeah,
there.
Bad news.
And I don't know where to jump in and say that, but a couple of days ago you had Andre Eglishon on there, and he's talking about thieves in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also there's prostitutes in the temple. Nine of them that got black dresses on someplace in there. But anyway, what has happened to us? We're more socialistic than France, England, or Germany ever thought of being. And the bottom line of socialism is euthanasia. That ain't coming around just with Terry Schindler. And I'd like to agree with a lady from Pennsylvania about having Bush pardon her.
Right.
That'd be the immediate answer. But I hope she doesn't hold her breath, or otherwise we'll have two fine ladies that are no longer with us.
No, I understand that.
And so here's a little springboard I want to use, and maybe you can remember more of this, but the details aren't important. It's about 1980s, the early 80s. There was a talk show host. I think it was Denver, Colorado. His name was Alan Berg, as I remember it.
And that was the guy that was shot, right?
Absolutely. And you know, and those, and then we ain't going to go into this. Neo Nazis, right, wrong, or indifferent. I mean, there's not my point here. But they caught him, and you know what they were charged with?
I don't remember the charges.
Yeah, not the common law of crime of murder, and this is my point. But they were charged with destroying Alan Berg's civil right to live. Now, that's all we have anymore is a civil right to live, either through the Social Security number, the birth certificate, the marriage. We're all wards of the state. And so, back on where you smell the rat again, to turn this over, turn it over to the federal, that's the bottom line will be euthanasia. I was listening to CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting System. Hey, they're openly up there talking about, they call it elder care. But they're openly talking about euthanasia and assisted suicide.
Art, what was the indicator on that? When we saw their national health care system come into being, that they would not treat certain illnesses or conditions or diseases after a certain age, basically what the state was telling its people is too bad, tough luck, you're going to die of it.
And yeah, I've got something from 15 or 18 years ago out of the Crazy Reader's Digest. It was a thing on, the Netherlands was in there. And it was a little thing with the Chamber of Commerce. It was a little, not a cartoon. It's so sad to say. It's not a joke. But anyway, and it says, welcome to the Netherlands, if you can make it back out alive. You see? And what are they doing over there now? I mean, but so it is in China, so it is in Netherlands, so it'll be here, because we bought the lie in 1935. You see? But there is.
Hold on. I know you want to complete your thought. Just hold on. 800-313-9443. We've got a couple lines open. We'll be right back.
The doctor was truly amazed at the improvements my heart showed after my heart attack. Thank you, Cartavite.
I was having a hard time breathing and had to rest in the afternoons, but since Cartavite, that's all changed now.
I've had chronic fatigue for 12 years now and decided to try Cartavite. Boy, it's improved my energy dramatically.
Cartavite.
We all use Cartavite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heart Drop 2000 presents Cartavite. Cartavite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cartavite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cartavite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Cartavite.
Do you want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Ark Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Ark Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now, that is food security. Call the Ark Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com. Do it today.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RVN network.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Bert in Michigan, we got interrupted by a break there. Go ahead and finish out your thoughts, if you would, sir.
Yeah, on the thing of being common law, and there, what's in my mind is in 1938 there was a case called Erie versus Tompkins, Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, and I think that's where the principle or lack of principle came out that there is no common law. Maybe some paralegals can look that up and whatever. But anyway, that amounts to case law. But case law also stinks. It stinks as much as plea bargaining in criminal cases, you know.
Right.
But anyway, there is also a common. It's time for the common law. If the thing, the lady from Pennsylvania doesn't work, there is time. There's a place for the common law. The common law of necessity, you know. You can do that which is not even legal or lawful when it comes right down to a matter of life and death, you know. I got my hands around your throat. You can do anything you want to me and be justified in doing it. Okay? Anyway, that comes from the supreme authority. And I better stop there. I get a little bit too emotional to handle on the radio. But thank you, John, for standing in the gap. And also in Psalm 94, verse 16, this comes from my memory, but where is he that will stand up against evildoers? And then another place in Isaiah 59, it says, he that stands up against evildoers will make himself a prey. And I don't think that's P-R-A-Y. But thank you for standing in the gap, brother.
All right. Thank you.
I'm gone.
I appreciate your call. Thanks. I'm looking here in my Congress at your fingertips. And I will come up with a few key numbers before the end of today's broadcast. The U.S. Capitol switchboard, and you can call from there. You can get to the Senate or you can get to the congressman if you know your congressman's name or your senator's name. It might do well just to weigh in on this subject. That number is 202-224-3121. And I'm looking, and I don't see, there was a number, if anybody has that number for George Bush's, here's the Office of the President. Oh, I'm sorry. Here it is. You want to call George directly? Here you go, folks. And of course, these are all area code 202. The Office of the President, 456-1414. Dick Cheney. Well, if you want to call Dick, 456-9000. Again, area code 202. His chief of staff, 456-6798. Maybe you'd like to call the office of the First Lady. I haven't heard Laura weigh in on this subject. She's a woman. She's had children. She knows what life and death is all about. 456-7064. And also the chief of staff to the First Lady, same number. And the press secretary to the First Lady, 456-6313. Well, a lot of numbers in this book. I tried to get people to get this book, Congress at Your Fingertips, from Capital Advantage, and nobody took advantage of it. It has everybody in the cabinet, all the contact information for our Congress critters, all our Senate critters, and everybody in between. But nobody was interested. It's amazing. Back to the phones. Barney in Maryland. Hello, Barney.
Yeah, John.
Yes, sir.
The problem belongs to the state. The federal government don't have any authority. There's no authority granted to the federal government to intervene in a state problem like that in the Constitution. But I believe the Terry's case is a part of this Pablo experiment they're using against American people. And also, it's another case of problem, reaction, and solution, right, which they're trying to work. And I think that when the husband shacked up with the other woman, he relinquished all interest in Terry. And I agree with that without a living will, it falls back on the parents, and the parents should get the insurance money after the medical bills are paid.
Well, and that those are valid points, Barney. I mean, why should the federal government, why should the U.S. Congress be involved in this? Why should the U.S. District Court of Appeals be involved in this? Why should any federal court, and I'm in agreement with you, you know, the lady from Pennsylvania, you know, she had a point here. She just didn't like Jeb, but I like George less than I do Jeb. Of course, you never hear that much about Jeb Bush and his goings-on. But, you know, the problem I see is the governor has the power within the state to say yes or no. He can pardon people from death row. He can do a lot of different things. Why he's handing this, and I would like to say that this is collusionary, that they're working in conjunction with this. But, you know, I don't know. That'd be speculation on my part. But Jeb should stand up. I mean, Jeb should take this by the horns and just say, hey, look, you know, this is a legal mess here. Until things are finalized and we work through every detail of this, exhaust everything that we know, put the tubes back in her.
Well, I agree with the lady or you, whoever said it, that he should be tried for bigamy because he's legally married to Terry and he's shacked up with this woman. And that makes her his common-law wife.
And why he won't walk away from it, you would think that if somebody has another life outside of a past life, that he would be more than willing to walk away from this thing.
Well, he's already relinquished all his interest when he shacked up with a woman.
Well, I understand. All right, Barney. Hey,
okay.
Thanks for the comments. I appreciate it. Audrey in Missouri. Hello, Audrey.
Hello.
Hi.
This is the first time I've called. I wanted to ask you a question first, though. The show you had on Tuesday the 22nd, where you played the tape, I think you said Terry Schiavo.
Yes.
Wasn't coming in too good, but I heard it. Do you have tapes that you sell of your shows?
Yes, we do.
I want that one.
Okay. You can just call us at the 800-724-2719, and you can order that show. That was from yesterday. 800-724-2719.
Okay.
And you can order that show. Just make sure that you designate my show, and it was yesterday, the 22nd.
Okay.
All right.
Now.
Yes.
Don Hannity and Combs had on Harry's dad, and he said that the night that happened, when Michael called 911, and when the paramedics got there, it didn't look right, and they called the police. And he said he saw the police report, and it said homicide on it.
Attempted homicide.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the basis. That's what got me to thinking. I mean, if you think about this, I mean, Andre, really, you know, let's try to emotionally detach ourselves from this. And I apologize to the listeners yesterday. I got a little bit heady, and some poor guy was sitting there with his family and wanted an explanation of some of the words I was using. I apologize for folks getting upset. I don't apologize that I'm so passionate about this because we're talking about life here. But it just seems to me, it seems to me, but this is an issue. First, let's just break this down. Is it a Fed problem? No, it's not a Fed problem. Is it a state problem? Yes, it is. Do we have a problem with the judge, this Judge Greer? Very well could be. But my problem goes back to the initial reports that I saw on this,
right,
that this was flat-out abuse.
Right.
There were bruises and broken bones.
Right.
Now, if that were the case, and that's why we called the Pinellas County Sheriff's Department this morning and said, hey, look, you need to take a look at some of the past, you know, because he wasn't sheriff back then. You need to get into these case files. You need to look at this real hard. Because for what, and let's emotionally detach ourselves from this for a moment, what is Michael Schiavo going to gain? Because the money's almost gone. There's less than $100,000 left in this fund, which he thought he was going to get. This is why he was making statements, you know, when's she going to die? You know, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to take trips to Europe, and I'm going to buy a new car and do all this other stuff. What is his interest in this right now if it's not, and the indications are when he would visit her, she would, even in her condition, would just be beside herself. I mean, why would somebody, if you've got a loving human being, okay, supposedly Michael as he's portraying himself to be, if he's such a loving person, why would this woman go into absolute conniption fits every time he was around?
You want my opinion?
Go ahead.
I don't think he can allow her to be able to talk again.
I don't think so either. And no. I think he's scared. But more importantly, I smell some collusion behind this. Somebody covering up for this guy. And I think it involved too many people that are too high in positions here. I don't know the full background on this guy.
Well, now I heard that Michael worked for the sheriff. He was the nurse that went to the jail every week and tended to the prisoners.
Well, and this also could be that maybe the sheriff at that point in time covered up for his boy, or maybe a judge or two helped cover this thing up.
Well,
we don't know yet, but I'll tell you one thing. If there is even a hint of allegations of that, you don't kill off the victim here. You keep that person alive, because dead men and dead women tell no tales.
The nurse stated that at the time he gave them orders not to give her therapy, but the doctors were giving them orders too.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that at that time Terry could speak words, and that they would bring her down to the nurse's desk and talk to her.
Right.
And said she one time said, "Help me, Mama."
Yeah.
And other things.
She was able to speak at one time. And this is my point. You know, how long has this abuse been going on? And how further has she degenerated without the proper care, the proper stimulus? Here's the question. Is Terry Schindler, I'm not going to call her Schiavo anymore, and I got to break myself of the habit because in my mind, these two aren't married. But at what point in time, you know, could she have come back as much as she possibly could through help and therapy? And here's the follow-up question. Can this still take place? Well, we're not going to know as long as everybody keeps playing politics with this deal and this poor woman is lying in a hospice center dying.
I need an investigation
All right. Hey, I thank you for your call, and don't be a stranger. Call in more often. We'll be right
Everyone
back.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
If you want more information about hospice patients, go to hospicepatients.org and scroll to Shame of Hospice Industry and look at some of the horror stories there, folks. Yes, a place where we warehouse our elderly and they just quietly just fade away. Let me do this story, then I'll get back into the phone calls by Evelyn Pringle from Online Journal. Citing recommendations by the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health, the NFC, George W. Bush wants to launch a nationwide mental illness screening program in government institutions, including the public school system, for all students from kindergarten up to the 12th grade. The New Freedom Commission was established by an executive order Bush signed on April 29th, 2 years ago, according to a July 22, 2003 press release. The commission recommends transforming America's mental health care system. Yes, it's we're just making it better. And the commission's press release stated this: achieving this goal will require greater engagement and education of the first-line health care providers, primary care practitioners, and a greater focus on mental health care in institutions such as school, child welfare programs, the criminal and juvenile justice systems. The goal is integrated care that can screen, identify, and respond to problems early. According to the NFC, its recommendations are being already promoted in Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Montana, Nebraska, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Texas, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. The truth is, this is nothing but another Bush profiteering scheme to implement a drug treatment program for use in the public institutions that will generate high-volume sales of relatively new but inadequately tested high-priced psychiatric drugs. If all goes as planned, the scheme will generate millions of new customers for the drug companies. Now, the original scheme, this is hatched right here in Texas. The commission's final report identifies what it claims are several model programs as examples of how aspects of mental health care have been transformed in selected communities. One program in the Texas Medication Algorithm Project, TMAP, a medication treatment program that screens people for mental illness and then prescribes highly profitable psychiatric drugs. However, the plan came under intense scrutiny when it was implemented in the state of Pennsylvania. A whistleblower by the name of Alan Jones, who was an employee of the Pennsylvania Office of Inspector General, published a report that described how medical leaders in Pennsylvania who controlled the medication plan received payments from the drug companies who were going to benefit from the plan. Through the Texas scheme, drug companies were able to gain unlimited access to the Texas prison system, juvenile justice system, foster care program, and state mental health hospitals to recruit new customers. In Texas, the list of medications to be prescribed was established by what was termed an expert consensus and drugs recommended for first-line treatment, including highly priced drugs such as Paxil, Adderall, Zoloft, Risperdal, Seroquel, Prozac, Wellbutrin, Zyban, and several others. Now, after securing access to the public systems, the next step in the Texas scheme was to get lawmakers to pass legislation to increase Medicaid coverage to persons who ordinarily would not qualify in order to provide funding by way of tax dollars to pay for the drugs prescribed to customers within these systems. The fact is, our children are already being over-medicated. According to the May 2003 report by the New York Times, national sales of antipsychotic drugs reached $6.4 billion in 2002, making them the fourth highest selling class of drugs behind cholesterol-lowering drugs, ulcer drugs, and antidepressants. The number of children on antidepressant medication increased over 500% between 1999 and 2003. Antidepressants and antipsychotics now constitute two of the four top classes of drug sales. For example, Zyprexia is manufactured by Eli Lilly and is one of the drugs on the list in Texas. In 2002, according to the Watchdog Group, the NDC Health, more than 7.4 million prescriptions were written for Zyprexia. In 2003, it became Eli Lilly's top seller and with worldwide sales of over $4 billion. According to the New York Times, 70% of the Zyprexia purchased in the U.S. that year was paid for by government programs like Medicare and Medicaid. Oh, yeah, you know the systems that keep going broke? Eli Lilly has well-known ties to the Bush administration. After he left the CIA in 1977, Bush Sr. became a member of Lilly's board of directors. When he left the company to become vice president under Ronald Reagan in 1980, he forgot to mention that he owned stock in the company at the same time that he was lobbying for tax breaks for the company. Even though it manufactured drugs in Puerto Rico, where continental U.S.-based companies pay no federal income taxes, Bush Jr. made Eli Lilly CEO, Sidney Tarrell, a member of the Homeland Security Council during the 2000 presidential election year. Lilly gave over $1.5 million to political candidates, and over 80% of that $1.5 million went to Bush and other Republican candidates. Many members of the New Freedom Commission also have ties to pharmaceutical industries and have served on drug company advisory boards. The NFC appointed 15 subcommittees to review the mental health service delivery system and appointed a chairman for each one. Several other commissioners served on each subcommittee and chose experts to provide advice and support. The experts prepared discussion papers that outlined key issues and presented policy options for consideration. Well. You got to enhance that service delivery. Yeah, that's right. Pump these people full of drugs and make the rest of the country pay for it. I just love fascism, don't you? It's just so exciting and so profitable for a few. We'll take a break, get back with all of your calls right after this quick break.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sangian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a 1-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today, for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbendpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
A reminder to folks, you can listen to any broadcast on RBN by simply going to rbnlive.com, logging on. You can get the streaming. We don't charge for it, folks, or any of the archive programming. We also do not charge for that. But we do have an online bookstore and product sales. That's how we help support the network. And this is important, folks. You're enjoying the programming and the information that we bring to you every day. This must continue. Why shop someplace else when you can shop with us? Now there's a thought. And many things, aeronizers, water filtration, just a bunch of stuff. Go to the website. It's completely redesigned. We cleaned it up. So just go to the webpage and check out the product and book section, videos and books, and make your purchases. You can either do it via PayPal system, or you can just simply call the office at 800-724-2719. And also there's a donation button there. Oh, that's right. And you can donate on a regular basis to have this deducted from your credit card account, or you can make a one-time donation, any which way that you want to do it. 800-724-2719. Back to the phones, Alan in Kansas. Hello, Alan.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I've got a list here. I'll work quick to try to. This stuff about a living will and a written document,
mm-hmm.
All of those questions assumes that Terry might want to die, And therefore, you know, she should have had a living will. Otherwise, look at the mess she's in.
Right.
But what if she didn't want to die? What if she wanted to live? What written document was she supposed to have for that?
Good point. I think wills, the living wills, there are special circumstance, but also that has to do with property, where you want your property and your belongings to go after you check out of this this world. But I don't know. I mean, the presumption, you're right. The presumption should be always for life.
It should be, but this whole argument, and it didn't start with me. It didn't start with you. It started with somebody else out there trying to say, well, look at here. Should have had a written will. Well, when they started doing that, they turned the focus around to, well, maybe she wanted to die, but she didn't have a living will. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and what I'm not buying is that the conversation that supposedly went on between Michael Schiavo and Teresa, or Terry, that Terry made mention of the fact that she wouldn't want to live like this. Well, like what? When did this conversation take place?
I've got that covered, too. That's my second point. The son-in-law not being respectful of the concerns of his father and mother-in-law with regard to their daughter. In this case, he's standing right there in their face telling them, it doesn't matter how concerned you are, she must die. Now, what kind of a son-in-law would do that? Even if Terry had mentioned, well, you know, I might not want to live that way, wouldn't you think a proper son-in-law would at least be respectful enough of the father and the mother to work this thing out and work with them on it instead of being so hard set against them?
Well, and let's go back to what this sworn affidavit said, that there's no doubt in my mind that he wanted her dead so he could take the rest of the money that was designated for her care. Why else would you take somebody out of an environment? Yeah, it's more expensive for that intensive type of care that she was getting, but why would you take her out of that to give her the best shot most of the recovery, wherever she was going to recover to what point, to take her and put her in that hospice setting, which is a lot cheaper than going the rehabilitation route. And then I don't think there's a shred of doubt, at least not in my mind, that this guy wanted her dead long before this so he could reap the benefit of the monies that were supposed to be there in that account to pay for her rehabilitation.
I think so, too, which brings me to another point, and that is any judge that gets this mess brought before him and says, well, son-in-law says this. He's the only one saying this. We have no written paperwork. What kind of a son-in-law is this? When the rest of the family has no agreement with him whatsoever, why in the world would a judge agree with him?
He was evidently awarded trusteeship or guardianship.
Well,
account.
Even so, if he's going to have trusteeship and like that, and he wants to make this claim, he should have more than his word to go on to fly in court. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
Now, this thing about the federal appeals court, and as I understood, when they showed this little bit on television, what Congress had done, they were telling the federal court they should hear this anew, as a first and only, as if it had not been heard before. Now, that judge, from what the judge said, didn't hear it at all. He just said the state has already gone through this and over, and he just wasn't going to listen to it anymore. That was the end of it. Now, I'm saying that judge should be removed from bench for cause by Congress for not taking direction from Congress. It clearly says, agree with the 14th Amendment or not, but it clearly says right to life and that Congress have the power to enforce. And so they did their due diligence, and this judge says, I'm not listening to any of that. And I'm saying Congress should remove this judge.
Well, I don't know. which judge are we talking about?
The first federal judge before they went to this next one, which was the appeals, that one that heard it yesterday,
right,
that said Florida's already heard all this, there's nothing new to this, and he just didn't want to – his opinion was it's already been heard.
Well, and the appeals process is such that if you can prove that something wasn't covered or disallowed in the initial court proceedings, then you have basis for appeal.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that what Congress said, if you go back to what they said the day before that, you know, when Congress put this out and the president signed this, it was pretty much one paragraph, and they put it out there with a Latin word in there that basically said it's a new case. To hear it as new as if it had never been heard before. That's the way the federal was supposed to hear it, as if they were primary in line and nobody had heard it before.
Well, I'll tell you what, and Alan, what would really put the brakes on this whole thing, what would really stop this whole process, and especially the process of her tubes being removed, mm-hmm. would be if there was a basis for criminal investigation on this, because mm-hmm. then that makes her a crime victim. This throws an entirely different light on this case.
Or at least evidence.
At least evidence.
Now, the last thing I want to say, and I'll let somebody else be on here, is the power of the president. What could the president... The president said we're an emergency here, we're at war. He can determine anybody to be a terrorist. Hmm. He can haul any of us off any time and do anything he wants to with us. All he has to do is say, she's related to terrorist activity, and haul her off and take care of her if he wants to.
Well, I'll tell you, it's probably something to be a whole lot easier. I don't know how many people could refuse a direct request from a president.
Exactly.
If George made a trip to, say, Florida, to Governor Bush's state house, and Mr. Schiavo was summoned there, and George just looked at him and said, hey, Sonny, walk away from this one. Let the parents have this one.
Well, if he wants to be a stand-up guy, let him take his own doctor from Bethesda down there and walk in to that place and have his doctor check her out.
Boy, that would certainly boost his ratings, wouldn't it?
He could do that. Who would stop him?
Politically, that would be a boon for Mr. Bush right now, because Mr. Bush is on the political skids.
Well, see, and if he just take his own personal doctor and says, come with me, get in a helicopter, fly down there, walk into that building, into that room, and say, check this lady out and tell me what's wrong with her.
But Mr. Bush is more embroiled into better ways and faster ways to kill people, not save them.
I understand. I'm concerned that what we've got here is up and down the line, members of the Right to Die cult, just, you know, Right to Die, just die, please just die cult.
Right.
Oh, that's what's going on.
Absolutely, because if we don't have a death cult in this country, Alan, we've killed 50 million babies. And I was never, back in the 70s, I was programmed into believing that a woman's body and her wishes, what she wanted to do with, was her personal responsibility. I was sold the pro-choice agenda back in the 70s, and I bought into it. Because after all, if you frame it to a person that way, do you want the government meddling around in your personal affairs? Well, those people would say, just out of hand, well, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. There has been a death cult in this country. What's happened in Washington and Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's happening with Teresa Schindler right now? Mm-hmm. The same thing. I agree with you. I believe there's the death cult behind this because, look, overall, the globalists, they want about 5 billion people gone from the face of this planet. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this propensity to keep making babies, and they can't have this.
Yeah.
So, first off, how do we shave down the population with the extraneous eaters out there, and then start to work on the healthy population to thin that herd out so we can make it more manageable?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sad state of affairs.
Well,
either it's going to be life and freedom and liberty, or we're going to have despotic tyranny with these tyrants, these bureaucrats running all over everybody.
Yeah.
And the basis here, and I'm full agreement with you, where is the presumption of life?
Presumption on the right to life.
There you go. Alan,
you.
Great call. Thank you. Appreciate it. John in Florida. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Well, it's been a while since we spoke. I was fortunate today to hear the beginning of your program, and about the time you had the lady reporter come on, I had to leave the toilet where I sit and listen to your program and have some things to do.
Don't tell me that's the only place your shortwave can pick it up.
Yeah, we've discussed this before. I mean, even going back before you had RBN and you were on Genesis, you'd be guesting with Alex. I'd mentioned to two locations on my property here, in the commode and out in the automobile on the driveway.
Right.
So I go out there, and I turn on the car radio, and you're not on, but the local micro station's pulling down a person's whose voice I hadn't heard in a long time, Bo Greitz. He's back on the air, so they were talking to him. So I thought I'd call in because I wanted to thank you. I understand you had Andre Egrishan on, who
I
had heard on Coast to Coast with George Neary. And back when I was talking to Marcia and Desi 2 weeks ago, I asked you if you'd heard of this guy, and I missed the broadcast Monday, so I'm hoping that maybe you'll have him back on sometime.
Actually, what I'll tip my hand a little bit. Actually, what I'm talking to him and his station about is putting him up nationally. Taking his program right from his station. What is it, 1530? I think it is down there. Yeah, we're in negotiations to try to get him on the network right now.
Uh-huh. Well, Alex had him on the second hour, and thanks to a local Christian AM network here, I was able to hear him on the Alex show the day after you had him on.
You mean I actually got pulled in favor of Bo Greitz?
Well, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I stopped talking to that man years ago, and then I heard he put a hole in his chest and thought that was the end of him.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go into Mr. Greitz's personal problems here, but I don't know. I don't grandstand, I just don't agree with a lot of the stuff that this guy has done and said, and I'm sorry for the listeners down there, not because this is not my show. It could be anybody else's show, anybody but him. Okay,
well,
anything else, John?
Yeah. I'm really calling. I don't want to say anything about, the troubles going on here, and it seems that it's the topic, of everybody's conversation as I've been listening with Teresa Schindler-Scheibo. But what I wanted to mention is, did you see 60 Minutes this past Sunday with Ed Bradley interviewing a guy who was an illegal alien who was in the arms business for the Kosovo Liberation Army?
No, I missed that.
This was like a hit piece done against the 50 caliber guns. This guy who had openly admitted he was smuggled into the country through Mexico, and I forgot what year it was, but he's now a respectable businessman in Brooklyn, New York, where he owns a roofing company, and he's been going around the country buying 50 calibers here and there, making it sound like he can pick them up anywhere without any problem. All he needed some money, asked, and he's been taking them over to the former Yugoslavia, to the Albanians.
Let me clarify this. Anybody that buys a 50 caliber rifle has to have a Class 3 license to purchase that firearm.
Well, there were a lot of, discrepancy statements that I heard, and, of course, Ed Bradley, he's a little twinkle toes, light in the loafers, as far as I'm concerned, with a little diamond, studded earpiece on his left earlobe. But, he was just, milking this guy, and this guy was, carrying on like he was a government agent. And, I wonder how he went from being an illegal alien many years ago, who was smuggled in, he openly admitted, through Mexico, to now being a decent, respectable businessman wearing three-piece suits.
Can we say preferential treatment?
It wouldn't surprise me if he's working with the feds.
That's exactly where I was going with
it. And, he was doing this. He goes into what's supposed to be a gun store in Pennsylvania and talks to the owner about buying this 50 caliber Barrett, and a lot of people that are into the Second Amendment know the troubles that Mr. Barrett out of Tennessee has been having with the feds. But, this guy says, we were buying him, and then I had my agents go here and there. And if he was a person from the state of New York, he would illegally have had to have that gun sent to a FFL dealer in the state of New York before it could ever be released to him with a background check.
That's exactly
anyway,
the point.
Who's to say that this gun store that he allegedly goes into with a camera crew wasn't something set up by the ATF, just to look like a real gun store, and they were basically putting on a Hollywood set.
Well, and Henry Waxman, I think 3 years ago, came out against a 50 cal, and he said something that raised my eyebrows. He said, the way Pennsylvania, the way Washington, D.C. is set up, that you could stand on Pennsylvania Avenue, it's a straight shot right to Congress.
Yeah.
I thought, Henry, you're right.
there's a lot of effort on the part of the feds to go after 50 caliber weapons and, say that there's the ultimate sniper weapon or it'll bring down airliners, et cetera, et cetera.
You'd have to be a real good shot for it to bring down an airliner. Hey, I'm going to have to cut you loose.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your call. And hopefully you can get out of the bathroom down there. Roberta in Texas. Hello, Roberta.
Hello, John. Thank you for taking my call. Okay. I listened to your program yesterday, which it absolutely tore the heart out of my chest to listen to the recording of Terry Schiavo, or of Schindler, and also the nurse's testimony.
I'll tell you, that's what got me going, and I couldn't keep it together after that.
Well, I didn't, and I lost it. But the reason why, there's two reasons why I'm calling. One is, well, I'm ready to go down there and turn Michael Schiavo into a eunuch, and I'm only 5'4", but if there was a way to do it, I would.
See if you can team up with Lorraine Bobbitt.
And take my 45 with me. Anyway, I wanted to offer my services because you made a statement yesterday that in the event that Terry Schindler passes, you're going to initiate some sort of an investigation on your own.
Yes.
And what I'd like to do is, and I will send you an email, and in the subject line I'll put my name, Roberta. I want to offer you my administrative and research services free of charge for however long it takes to track this scumbag down and find out what he did. I am so incensed. I'll tell you, I hope nobody crosses me today because I'll probably beat him up. But I wanted to call you and tell you that if you need those services, they're there, and I'll send you my contact information.
Very good.
The other point I want, I'm sorry, I'm very nervous about this because I'm so upset. The other point I wanted to make is on Larry King's show, I don't own a TV, but I did get this information from another patriot, and he said that Larry King interviewed Michael Schiavo. And the one question among many that Larry asked him was, did you in fact, or did Terry in fact ask you to remove her tubes? And he said, no, she did not. And Larry King moved on right to the next question. Why? I don't know. That should have been brought out, publicized on every news station, and he should have probably been arrested right on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, this is escalated into the political football game, and there's things that are being missed here. I don't have the simple solution except for one thing, and that's to keep her alive.
I know.
Because, as I said, what's the hurry to kill her? I mean, what does it matter if they kill her next year?
Well, my own gut feeling is that he would be, and he'd probably be arrested for attempted murder or assault or something along those lines because I feel he's guilty. And he knows it, and he doesn't. Why would anybody want someone cremated immediately after they die? I mean, without an autopsy. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to say to you or ask you was I attended a Truth Seekers meeting for the first time last month at Serrano's.
Mm-hmm. Who did you see?
Pardon me?
Who did you go to see?
Well, I met you, but I know you don't remember me, but I went to see Carl Schwartz.
Uh-huh.
And then Jeremiah, I forgot his last name. He was with the
Texas what is it? Murphy?
Yeah.
Griffith. I'm sorry, Griffith.
Griffith, that's right, for the checkpoint checks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's who I saw there. But what I wanted to know was when your next meeting is going to happen.
We will make you aware of that as soon as we get the information from Randall Mock.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you, sir. And I really, really appreciate all of you. You and Jack Blood and Frank Whalen and Peter Shank, all of you for really hammering away on this. Something is going to happen, and I think it's going to be good.
Well, don't forget our pal Alex down here.
And Alex. I'm sorry.
Right.
I forgot
okay.
Alex.
Roberta, thank you for the call.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Robert in Idaho. Hello, Robert.
Yeah, are you aware, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
That appeal within the last hour in Florida was overturned?
Right.
Okay, the other thing is, where's the witnesses to this execution? In my opinion, all it is an execution.
Well,
death of torture.
Well, like I said on yesterday's program, I mean, convicted murderers on death row.
Right.
They have stays of execution. They have the right of appeal. Most of these people are on death row for years, but when they finally do meet their maker through the state mechanism, we don't starve them to death. We don't deny them water. We don't deny them food. We strap them on a table, inject them, or electrocute them, or as in the case of Gary Gilmore back in the 70s,
right,
he requested a firing squad.
Right.
But the definition of this, well, This is not a termination of somebody's life for crimes against the state. This is just a convenient way to get rid of somebody that just happens to be taking up space and spending too much money.
Well, the sadists, why don't they get a camera in there and just watch her being tortured then? I mean, don't they even can't they even do that? Don't they have the guts to even do that?
No, cowards do not anymore. Let me tell you something, and this has been my argument. If everybody thinks that the right. homosexual thing is such a great thing, why doesn't the national news media show the gay pride parade out in San Francisco to take a look at the debauchery that they march up and down the streets every year? They won't do it because they're cowards.
That's right. They're bringing judgment on this country real fast here. God isn't going to put up with this stuff much longer. But anyway, I think we want to concentrate on Florida, on at least Jeff Bush, the governor.
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing to do.
Ultimately, huh? Ultimately, I think you're correct, Robert. Hey, thanks for your call, my friend. Stefan in Texas. Hello, Stefan.
Yeah. Hi, John. How are you?
Good.
Say, listen, you'd mentioned that this is all being done by design, that to decrease the surface population.
Surplus eaters, man, can't have them.
Yeah, if you really want to have to look at that, all you got to do is look up into the skies over Austin today. There was a minimum of about 30 chemtrails from one end of the horizon to the other.
Did you happen to catch on the web what they're doing to Iraq right now? The exact same thing.
Yeah, it's been going on in every major city in the United States and Canada since 1997, and less than 1% of the population even has an inkling of what's really going on. But today, it's this whole haze that's over the hill country is just amazing. You know, what I was thinking is somebody needs to go ahead and do a chemtrail alert on RVN or something, that every time this happens, people need to be brought to the attention of what's going on. For it just needs to be brought out in the open. Anyway, I'll hang up and let you maybe discuss a little bit about that. But it's a travesty what's happening.
Thank you, Stefan. I appreciate it. Yeah, well, one of these days, you know, folks, there's a lot that we can be doing. Well, that's a subject for another time. Brenda in Tennessee. Hello, Brenda.
Yes, just real quick. Thank you.
Yes.
It was told on the World News tonight that Governor Bush had a neurologist look at her. And he said that she had apparently been misdiagnosed, that she was not in a vegetative state. And immediately the federal judge put out another ruling that anyone who attempted to remove her from that hospital would be prosecuted. And I don't understand that.
You know, it's been some private fantasies of some individuals that we just arm up and march in there and take her out of there.
Well, yes. My husband is ex-military, and he said if he had just one good green beret to help him.
Hey.
That we'd be on our way to Florida.
I understand. Brenda, thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, ma'am. Thanks for the call. Monica in Texas, you're the last caller on the National Intel Report. Go ahead.
Yes. Mr. Stepmiller, I just want to thank you because I've been, all the things you've been saying today about this Teresa Schindler case, I've been sort of researching myself, and I didn't know if you knew about his plans to have her cremated.
No, I just became aware of that the other day.
Which that sounds to me, all the flags that go up on this, I don't know why. I thought I was the only one going, what is going on? And the only thing that would make any sense as to what his motives are, because he's been asked to walk away from this.
Several,
he has another family. I don't understand.
Yeah, several times. And where is the interest? I mean, if in fact...
It has to be a cover-up. I agree with you. He must have somebody helping him cover this up, and I can't believe that this being allowed to go on.
That's why I said that if I can peel myself away from this network, that I can spend some time out of here. I'd like to take John Moore down to Florida, and I'd like to get an investigative team together and start looking through this entire thing. But
and so, where is this information about the report that you said where they said it was originally classified as attempted?
I'll tell you what. I'll answer that question tomorrow. We're out of time. Thanks for your call, Monica.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over a million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.